STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
Evolution and morality don't mix. That was the conclusion I arrived at in a recent research paper I wrote for my master's degree. Yet many evolutionary naturalists do not want to give up morality. Instead, they attempt to ground morality in naturalistic evolution. Now, this is fraught with serious difficulties. Taken all together, these form an insurmountable case against evolution as a foundation of morality. Let me give you four reasons why you should reject an evolutionary account of morality. First, evolutionary naturalism cannot get an ought from an is. Let me explain. Science describes the way the world is. It doesn't tell us how it ought to be. This is where evolutionary morality faces a widely recognized problem. Namely, it cannot produce an ought from an is. Normative rules cannot be derived from empirical facts. In fact, Nobel Prize-winning biochemist Jacques Monod, he writes this: "One of the greatest problems of philosophy is the relationship between the realm of knowledge and the realm of values. Knowledge is what is, and values are what ought to be. I would say that all traditional philosophies, up to and including communism, have tried to derive the ought from the is. This is impossible. If it is true that there is no purpose in the universe, that man is a pure accident, you cannot derive an ought from an is." End quote. The problem stems from trying to deduce a moral duty from a simple scientific description. Darwinian evolution may be able to describe past behavior, but it lacks the resources to prescribe future behavior. As my boss, Greg Kokel, puts it, "One question can never be answered by an evolutionary assessment of ethics. Why ought I be moral tomorrow?" And I think he's right. Any response assumes an objective standard beyond the natural world. So that's the first point. Evolutionary naturalism cannot get an ought from an is. Second, evolutionary morality keeps evolving. Evolution is arbitrary and could have evolved differently. Therefore, the same is true of evolutionary morality. Think about this. In fact, it's possible that morality could have evolved in the exact opposite direction. Consequently, those behaviors that are praised as virtuous would be immoral, and those that are vices would be moral. Philosopher Michael Ruse, his colleague biologist E.O. Wilson, describe how things could have evolved differently. Listen to what they say. "Suppose that instead of evolving from savanna-dwelling primates, we had evolved in a very different way. If, like the termites, we needed to dwell in darkness, eat each other's feces, and cannibalize the dead, our epigenetic rules would be very different from what they are now. Our minds would be strongly prone to extol such acts as beautiful and moral, and we would find it morally disgusting to live in the open air, dispose of body waste, and bury the dead." End quote. Furthermore, evolution does not provide a stable foundation for morality in the future. Since evolution is a process of change, morality must also change. I like how Frank Turek puts it. He asks, "If evolution is a source of morality, then what's to stop morals from evolving or changing to the point that one day rape, theft, and murder are considered moral?" I think that's a good question. What's to stop that? This reveals the absurdity of trying to ground morality in naturalistic evolution. What is morally prohibited today could be morally obligatory tomorrow. And this evolution wouldn't be morally better or worse, it would just be morally different. For example, in the distant future, slavery may function well in the perpetuation of the human species and the struggle for survival. As a result, enslaving other human beings may become moral. To avoid this conclusion, one must smuggle in a transcendent moral standard that evolution just does not provide. Okay, third, evolutionary naturalism explains morality away. It explains it away. Here's what I mean. Evolution is all about survival of the fittest. This means, on an evolutionary view, moral beliefs are fitness-directed, not truth-directed. That is, we come to hold moral beliefs based on what confers a survival advantage and not on what corresponds to reality. Given that evolutionary morality is fitness-oriented, not truth-oriented, many naturalists have questioned the existence of morality. Moral realism is the view that there are objective, mind-independent moral facts. Unfortunately, Darwinism does not explain how there can be moral facts. Rather, it attempts to explain how humanity has come to mistakenly believe in moral facts. Let's go back to Michael Ruse and E.O. Wilson again. They understand this point. They state, ethics, as we understand it, is an illusion fobbed off on us by our genes to get us to cooperate. It is without external grounding, end quote. They actually continue. They say, morality, or more strictly, our beliefs in morality, are merely an adaptation put in place to further our reproductive ends. Ethics is produced by evolution, but not justified by it, because, like Macbeth's dagger, it serves a powerful purpose without existing in substance, end quote. Ruse and Wilson do not believe this is a problem for their view. They state, the way our biology enforces its ends is by making us think that there are an objective higher code to which we're all subject. Because we think that ethics is objectively based, we are inclined to obey moral rules, end quote. So naturalistic evolution acts as a con artist, tricking people into thinking that morality is real when it's not. So the act of rape itself isn't morally wrong on this view. Rather, our genes have been tricked into thinking that rape is wrong. That's what they're saying. Therefore, evolutionary naturalism does not explain the existence of morality. Rather, it explains why we think morality exists when it actually doesn't. So the evolutionary approach is not really an explanation of morality. It's actually a denial of morality. It only explains the illusion of morality. Okay, finally, evolutionary morality undermines all moral beliefs. Charles Darwin was rightly skeptical about the possibility of rationality given naturalistic evolution. This is what he says. With me, the horrid doubt always arises whether the convictions of man's mind, which have been developed from the mind of lower animals, are at any value or at all trustworthy. Would anyone trust the convictions of a monkey's mind if there are any convictions in such a mind? End quote. Of course, this would include moral convictions. So we should be skeptical of even moral convictions, is what he's saying. On an evolutionary view, there is no reason to trust our moral convictions. After all, if we hold our moral beliefs because of fitness conferred by some resulting behavior, then it appears that we would have had those beliefs whether or not they're true. Minimally, this means that we could never know whether our moral beliefs correspond to moral facts. Given the genesis of our moral convictions, we are left with moral skepticism. For the naturalist, I think each of these problems poses a serious challenge. However, taken together, I think this case is unassailable. Rather than denying morality, the naturalist should deny naturalism. The theistic worldview makes the most sense of a transcendent morality and avoids all of the problems that we just discussed.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.